Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Well, we are continuing our series today through the life of King David, the Shepherd King, our series titled The Heart of a Shepherd. And as I was thinking about these passages that we're looking at, I really wrestled with what to title this. And I had a different title last week, and I changed it. And we're calling this Conqueror. Because really what we see in David is we see one who conquers. Right? He was a mighty warrior, a warrior king, and he defeated all of his enemies. But really, that's not what makes him a conqueror. What makes him a conqueror is his trust in God. And we see that in these passages, or these selections of passages we're looking at today. We're going to be in four different chapters today in 1 Samuel, and looking at some instances here. And through it, we see this theme of being a conqueror. And you might wonder, like, well, what does this have to do with us, right? We're not going out and fighting with swords. We're not a military organization. We're not, you know, it's different. But we have an enemy. We have an enemy that seeks to discourage, that seeks to destroy, that seeks to tear us down. And yes, we may not be fighting physical battles, but Scripture says that our battles are of a spiritual nature. All right? And Paul says in Romans 8:37, says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. And we see that in David's life this week, that because he trusts God and because of God's love for him, he is able to overcome. He is a conqueror in this. We're going to start off in 1 Samuel 21. Before we get into that, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity today to be gathered, to meet with you in this place, Lord, to celebrate what you are doing in our lives, Lord, to celebrate a new birth, new life in these families. We thank you for the commitments that the parents have to seek to follow you and to raise their kids in the faith, Lord. God, we thank you that we get to celebrate groups and individuals going on mission for you today. And that we get to be gathered around the table later this morning. God, we just give you thanks and praise and all these things, and ask that you would speak to us in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin here in chapter 21 with this idea that trusting God conquers fear. The kids got it, right? The kids understood it. If you're afraid of something, you can pray and God is going to help. Trusting God conquers fear. And we see this play out in David's life. So 1 Samuel 21, we're going to pick it up in verse 10, all right? So it says, David fled that day from Saul's presence. Saul was the previous king. Saul's empire, his reign is falling apart, it's crumbling, but he still is hunting down David to kill him because he is fearful that David is going to take over the kingdom. And so it says that David fled that day from Saul's presence and went to King Achish of Gath. But Achish's servants said to him, isn't this David the king of the land? Don't they sing about him during their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands? David took this to heart and became very afraid of King Achish of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. He acted like a madman around them. scribbling on the doors of the city gate and letting saliva run down his beard. "Look, you see, this man is crazy," Achish said to his servants. "Why did you bring him to me? Do I have such a shortage of crazy people that you brought this one to act crazy around me? Is this one going to come into my house?" Now, this encounter with King Achish, and King Achish is one of the kings of the Philistines. Philistines were the number one public enemy for Israel. There were five different kings that ruled these cities of the Philistines, Achish being one of them over the city of Gath. And so this is early on in David's running from Saul and hiding, and he's moving around, and he has this idea that maybe I should leave Israelite-controlled land where Saul could get me, and if I go into Philistine country, he can't get to me. So he goes to Gath, and once he comes there, he realizes, wait a minute, they don't like me very much. I've killed a bunch of their men, and this might not go very well for me. So he puts on an act here to get out of a fearful situation. And he wrote Psalm 34. Emilio read some of it for us earlier. He wrote Psalm 34 as a result of this experience of going into enemy territory and freaking out, basically. And so we're going to look at these verses again here, verses 4 to 7 of Psalm 34. This is what David writes when he is in this situation. He says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." So lest we think that David was like so brave that he did not feel or experience any fear in this, at his own pen, he says that there was fear and the Lord met him and rescued him in his fear. And he recognizes that it's the Lord who rescued him. The Lord was watching out for him. See, in this time, this is shortly, like I said, this is early on. This is shortly after the whole thing with David and Jonathan, and David realizing there's no hope to reconcile with Saul, and he just needs to leave. Saul is bent on killing him, and he is learning to trust God and God's protection during this time. And trusting God allowed David to no longer fear his enemies, but to actually fear God. To trust God, to fear God, and not the people that were after him. See, when we fear God and trust that he will be with us, we do not have to fear others. Because we know that God is with us and God is for us. Right? Paul said it this way in Romans 8:31. "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Think about that. If God is for us, who is against us? Whatever the struggles, whatever the issues that you are dealing with, remember that the God of the universe loves you and is for you and is with you in it. Are there going to be struggles? Are there going to be troubles? Are there going to be things that you are tempted to fear? Absolutely. But if we first get this right, that we fear God in that we care more about what God thinks about how we live, about how we love, about how we show grace and practice forgiveness and all of these things. If we fear God, what he thinks about us first and foremost, we do not have to fear others. So trusting God in that, or we might say fearing God, will conquer our other fears. And beyond that, the practice, the repetition of that allows us in our trusting God that it conquers doubt. Because fear that is left untreated leads to doubt. It leads to doubt. Now we're going to fast forward. There's a lot that happens between chapters 21 and 27. And we've been looking at a lot of that over the last several weeks. And so we jump ahead to chapter 27. Picking it up right at verse 1 here. It says, David said to himself, "One of these days I'll be swept away by Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape immediately to the land of the Philistines." Now, if you're familiar with where we just were at in chapter 21, and if you're reading through this and you've read five other chapters here, and you get to chapter 27, you might remember, wait a minute, didn't he try this once and have a panic attack and bail on this? Why is he going back? Well, hold that thought. "So there's nothing better for me to do than escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me." And David and his men stayed with Achish in Gath. This is like same song, second verse here. "Each man had his family with him, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. When it was reported to Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him." Ah, it worked. Mission accomplished. Saul is not going to go into Philistine territory and risk his life just to hunt David down. Now, there is a lot that has happened since David's first time in Gath. And he has realized, I think, that God is indeed with him. I mean, we've looked at some of these. The times where he had pure opportunity to end Saul's life in the cave and out in the field when they were sleeping, and he passes on it. The whole thing with Nabal that we looked at last week, where David was ready to just wipe Nabal out, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, intercedes, and he sees God take care of Nabal. All these ways that God has shown David, listen, I've got this. I've got you. You can trust me in this. I think has given David a different outlook. And that now, the idea of going into enemy territory is not as scary. And in addition to that, David has picked up a sizable amount of men. There's 600 men and all of their families. It is an entire community that is coming to Achish and asking for refuge, if you will. It's like a refugee camp. So the situation is a little bit different, but what allows David to have the confidence in doing it is the sustained way that God has watched over them throughout that. So recognizing God's ongoing and continued faithfulness allows us to trust God with difficult things and difficult experiences. When we can look back and say, you know what? I see what God did here and here and here, and this is difficult, but you know what? Why can't I trust God in this? Look at what God has done. Look how God has been there. It can remove the doubt, or actually rather, should say, instead of removing the doubt, it gives us truth to speak that counters the doubt. See, the enemy is always going to throw doubt at us, to doubt God's goodness, to doubt God's love for us, to doubt God's provision for us. But when we have been practicing trust in God, and we have seen how God has been there for us, not only can we go to the scriptures, but we can look at that and we can say to the enemy, we can say to the lies, that is wrong. I know my God provides for me because look at what he's done. And that is how we counter lies. That is how we attack the enemy, is we do it with truth. That we go to the Word of God and we go to what God has done for us and we say, no, that is a lie. I do not need to doubt God's love for me. Look at what he has done. Look at what he says about me, that I am his beloved. And so we have the ability to counter the lies of the enemy and the doubt that creeps in because we have been trusting God. Same thing for David in this. Now, David has sought refuge there in Philistine territory. They were given a whole town, the town of Ziklag. And this is their refugee camp. And so they're hanging out. They're sending raiding parties. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're making life work. And then this little thing pops up called war. And when war happens, you have to choose sides. Right? So, we pick this up in chapter 28. Right at the beginning of 28, verse 1. It says, at that time, the Philistines gathered their military units into one army to fight against Israel. So Achish said to David, well, you know, of course, that you and your men must march out in the army with me. And David replied to Achish, good, you will find out what your servant can do. So Achish said to David, very well, I will appoint you as my permanent bodyguard. Uh-oh. This is looking bad, isn't it? This is looking real bad. David here has sought refuge in the land of his enemies. And now the enemies are going to battle with David's people. And the king that has given David refuge in his land is expecting David to join him in battle against his own people. What's David going to do? Now, he doesn't question his responsibility to Achish here. He knows he owes this to Achish. He has no ground to stand on here. He is indebted to this king for the refuge that he has given to them. And so the question that we have as we're reading this is, does David actually intend to go to battle against his own people? I mean, I've asked this every time I read this. It's like, man, what would have happened? Would he really have done it? He had no choice. But in this, David is trusting God's protection over him in this. See, he felt like God was the one who was leading him to the land of Achish. He didn't just come up with this idea on his own, but God had directed them. God is the one who led them down into the Philistine land, into this area where they're under Achish's protection. And David knows that where God leads him, he's going to provide for him. Right? In life, when God takes us somewhere, is he not going to protect us? Is he not going to provide for us if he has sent us there? Does he direct and not provide? No. No, he is with David in this, and he is going to provide for their needs, right? Paul put it this way in the New Testament. He said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Right? God knows our needs, and he's not going to call us somewhere and then abandon us. That is not what a good and loving Heavenly Father does. The enemy might want you to think that so that you panic and fear and doubt, but know that God is with you in it. So, let's see what happens here. And as we see what happens, we're going to see one more idea here in this about conquering, that God's love is what conquers evil. God's love is what conquers evil. So, before the battle begins, David and his men report for inspection along with the rest of the Philistine troops. So, imagine this scene where you've got the armies walking in review, marching in review in front of the leaders, right? They are inspecting their troops. That's the scene that we have here at the beginning of chapter 29. And we're going to pick it up in verse 3. It says, then the Philistine commanders asked, what are these Hebrews doing here? Hebrews is an ethnic term for the Israelites. All right, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish, one of the Philistine commanders, they're standing there, they're looking at the troops. He says, oh, that is David, servant of King Saul of Israel. He has been with me a considerable period of time. And from the day he defected until today, I have found no fault with him. Well, the Philistine commanders, however, were enraged with Achish and told him, send that man back. Isn't this the David they sing about during their dances? Where they say Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. So Achish summoned David and told him, as the Lord lives, you are an honorable man. But the leaders don't think you are reliable, so now go back quietly and you won't be doing anything the Philistine leaders think is wrong. Coincidence? Or God's intervention? Here. Achish trusts David with his life. He says, David, you are an honorable man. You can be my bodyguard anytime. He trusts David. But the Lord works through the others, the other kings, the other commanders, to remove David from the situation of having to go into battle with Achish against Israel. Now, by showing up and being there, David honors King Achish, right? He does what he is willing to do, so nobody experiences shame in this. He doesn't fight back against Achish or anything like that, but it is the Lord who intervenes here so that David doesn't have to fight. And in this whole story, we've been going back to Romans 8, and I want to go back and read a bigger chunk here in Romans 8 because I just kept coming back to this passage in Romans 8 where Paul says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that, church? Because David was confident in God's love for him. God had revealed it. He had showed it to him. He had been there for him. David was able to go and dwell in enemy territory. He was able to go into the darkness because he knew who he is. He is God's man. He did not become a Philistine. He is God's man in the enemy territory, and God was with him in it, and God protected him in it. See, when we have our hope and confidence in God, in who God has made us to be, we can be that light invading the darkness like David was. We can be in enemy territory, and we do not have to be afraid because God is with us. And guess what? Oh my goodness, what is my phone doing? My apologies. I'm not sure what that was. All right. But in the same way that David did this, we see a pattern where God invades the darkness for the sake of his rescue mission of the souls of men. And the first step of that invading the darkness was when he sent Jesus. See, Jesus left heaven to come into enemy territory. John 1, 4 to 5 says this, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." So like Jesus and like David, we are called to be light in the darkness, and we can have confidence that because God is with us and for us, that he will protect and provide for us so that the light can dwell in the darkness and dispel the darkness. See, darkness cannot overcome light, but light can chase out the darkness. And we see David doing that. And interestingly enough, if you were to read on, next week we're going to jump all the way to 2 Samuel 6. But if you read the chapters in between, you will find out that this battle that was happening, that God prevented David from going to, it was in that battle that the Lord struck Saul and he died. And David's battle with Saul was done. How did David conquer? Not with might. He conquered by trusting God, by resting in God, in who God says he is.